It is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. I decided to be aggressive there. Jim, of course, is somebody who joins us every week at this time with an incredible amount of knowledge. And also, he's been around as an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics. He brings over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. And ladies and gentlemen, we bring him to you right now. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
And good morning to you, sir, and to you, Jill, and everyone out there.
Hey, you know, when we start this off today, I talked about this with Jill, and I'm just going to mention it with you. You're someone that's been around in a long time. You've got a rich history. Heck, I've been in broadcasting. It'll be 50 years in a couple of years. I once ran a kids' nightclub, Jim. And I told kids who were the age of 16, who were trying to go out with the girls the age of 12, listen, this is something that if you do this in the future, will come back and could come back and bite you. It might not wind you up in jail, but it is something that 30 or 40 years later can ruin your life. And we see it happen today with a fine Attorney General of New York, something that he involved himself in the past has come back and brought his life tumbling down. It's so important when you're growing up to realize that the things that you do now can seriously affect you 20 and 30 and 40 years later. That's all I'll say, Jim.
Well, I tell you, it's kind of, you know, the world is twirling so rapidly. So many things are happening. It's just really incredible. It's just really incredible. I mean, I think we all had suspicions of this or that. I've seen it in my own workplace with men. I don't know. It's like everything's coming apart, hopefully, to be put back together in a saner, more compassionate, loving way. But back to your point about young people, this is why it is so important that not only do we teach them and educate them in high school, in college, and beyond, but we talk to them. We give them perspective on what it is to grow up as someone who's going to prosper as a person, but prosper with other people in terms of relationship, in terms of creating things together, in terms of respecting one another. And
then the first thing you have to do is, and I'm sorry to interject, but you know, you were raised to know that people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, and you were raised to be tolerant. You grew up in a neighborhood where it was important to be tolerant. You could tell the tolerance or the intolerance. And the tools that we are currently using, frankly and bluntly, discourage tolerance, and they discourage communication. So if something's actually going to change, the methods are going to have to be, shall we say, expanded. Because,
well, you know, these things are hard, but they're simple. They're simple in the sense that when children are growing up, they are taught by their parents and their elders what life is about, what respect is about oneself and about others. However, after a certain point, the child becomes a teenager, and the learning process is not as significant at home, obviously, as it had been. So parents must really get the most out of the time they have with their children to instill in them values that will make them happier. Example, back to Marshall's original point, things coming back to haunt one years later, be it 5 years or 15 or whatever. It's not the kind of situation you want in your life. You just don't want to live a pretty good life for a while and then something that you've done or have not done explodes. But it really begins at the home. But the current environment we have now with this divisiveness, with this I'm right and you're wrong, with this bullying, with this, well, I'm the man and I'm the guy and I'm this and I'm that. You can't put words to express how do we solve this other than that people must go within and say, what exactly do I want to do with my life? Do I want to live a joyful, compassionate life with relationships at many different levels, be it husband and wife or friends or girlfriends or associates or whatever. And it's a tough game. And it's very tough now. There's so much negativity flowing all over the place.
Well, right. And the sadness is that when I say sadness, poor choice of words, but negativity sells. And if you are caught up in the media swirl, if you are caught up, and P.S., newsflash, not everybody is. Not everybody is running around glued to their devices. There are a lot of people who are trying to make a living, scratching out, actually working, producing products. You know, it's my old line. What is Mary Barra doing today? Now, if you don't read about something, you don't know about it. You're not thinking about it. It's, again, it's like the weather. You look out the window. The weather is the way it is out your window. You're not spending too much time thinking. If you're sitting, I saw something last night. I thought it was pretty comical. There was a person in Hawaii, a person in Ohio who was concerned because her trip had been canceled. And, you know, that is so different than the person who's actually on the big island. You can't get home because there's lava blocking their path.
I think that's an excellent example of how we've lost our way in terms of what is of value. Your life is the first intrinsic value, which is you include safety and good health and things of that nature. You know, once you get beyond that, things can be really pretty trivial, such as this person who was complaining about not getting to Hawaii, when over the last 3 weeks we've had these crazy accidents on the airlines. One should say, if one's trip was canceled to Hawaii, well, thank God I got canceled before I got there and had to go through that horrific, horrific situation. Gratitude is something that is missing, I think, in some people's lives, in that, you know, the air you breathe, you should be grateful for it. And so significant. Here we are being run by people who are currently in office who want to deplete the quality of our air. Just put that in perspective. And what are we doing as a country? What is the populace doing? Is anybody standing up and yelling and screaming enough so that it's heard? I know there are many people out there who are basically working for all of us by trying to keep the government working for us by keeping the air clean. But, I mean, it's an essence. An example of what's going on in the world in terms of air, in terms of our life, China. I was there many years ago, before the pollution actually got as bad as it did, or has become, rather. And now they are basically just pulling out all stops to improve their air problem because they're dying from it. I don't think we really want to be in that position. So let's come back all the way to the beginning here in terms of what we do in our lives, in terms of making our lives and other people's lives better. Let's pay more attention to clean air and clean water and less attention to, oh, I missed my flight, or, gee, I didn't get the discount, or whatever. Monetary things, when you get to the short strokes of life, yeah, if you have enough money to feed yourself, fine, I'm not yet going there, but we need to get to the essence of who we are and what we want to do with our lives to live them successfully. And part of it, coming around again to the beginning of this in terms of what's going on in the public sector and harassment and abuse and so forth, we're just going to have to keep working at it and get rid of it some way. And, you know, we have a great group of young people out there protesting weapons of mass destruction, which unfortunately enter our school system. We need that type of energy to say, okay, let's bring a quality to our lives, not a quantity. And you use the word, which Jill, which I almost came back to when you did it, but when you said it, but I'll do it now. Reading. If you are not encouraging your children to read books at these early ages, you're not really helping them. Reading is not only the learning of facts, but the experiences that one needs as they go through life, the relationships between men and women, the relationships between citizens, people serving in the service, armed services or at jobs and so forth. Reading brings something to the mind that I think is lacking. I think part of what has happened to us, we've given up those sensitive parts of the brain that experience things in a way that is calm. It's, you can grow from it into something else. This on the phone or on the computer 6-8 hours a day, unless you're doing work, but doing it for fun and games, is really, it's pulling us back, in my opinion, in certain areas as a society.
And you know, it needs more and more people. It needs more and more people to remind those who are doing that, that not everybody is doing that. And that gets back to the tolerance stuff. Because I'm sorry, I remember actually being on a playground, which is not the most, I didn't love playgrounds at school, all right? And anyone who knows me now, decades later, knows how I feel about, my fellow men. I'm not the warmest, fuzziest person. I didn't make friends easily. Whatever. But I carved my way. At least it was with real people. Now, a lot of people's experience, and it's funny. I read these things that say, oh, wow, we're more anxious now than we were ever before. And okay, two things. One, you sell a lot of pharmaceuticals that way. Man, those profits are just through the roof. Think about it. A. B. When you are communicating with an actual person, talking, you are using different parts of your brain and body and communication skills, and people are either listening or they've got their fingers in their ears going, nya, 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 I'm not listening. But it's a different thing than when you send a message to somebody and you sit there and you wait for them to respond. One is anxiety provoking, one is not. That's all I want to say.
Well, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. There's a disconnect caused by this type of communication. As you were talking, I was thinking of something that you referenced in a conversation we had a couple of weeks ago about putting pencil to paper. Possibly taking a kid aside periodically and going into an exercise of writing could be very, very helpful.
That you're absolutely right. That, and I have to say, you know, we get to this time of year and around here, there's blue and gold, the white. There are galleries that show the work of students, in their art classes. We also just had the talent pageant here. You know, we're quite far ahead. It's Mr. Housatonic for the high school here. It has been for years, instead of Miss America, whatever. But the talent level, if you do, arts are a great thing, and there are a lot of talented individuals out there, and they are using different media, and that's fine. But they're creating their own stuff, and that too. As with putting pencil to paper, you're accessing a whole other world just by doing that. So the other thing, short version, is the arts programs. Parents, get your kids involved. If they aren't, that's a really, really good. I don't know. Sound like my mother, but she was real big on finger painting, starting young.
Well, that's why it's a delight for me as my grandchildren have been growing up. When they send me their drawings and so forth, very rudimentary, obviously, when they were two or whatever they were when they first started. But, it's a very personal thing. It's the development of the personality, just creating something and looking at it and saying, oh, this, that, or the other thing. Well, listen. Let's switch for a bit here. A couple of things that are coming up today at 2:00. Supposedly, the president is going to announce that he's sticking with the Iran deal, or he's not sticking with it. He's a very tiresome fellow. He keeps changing his mind, and he keeps talking and so forth. I really, as a lot of people in the media world who have access to us have pointed out, it's almost as if he was a bit jealous of his wife Melania, who was doing her a second public event yesterday. It's called Be Best for Children, and I watched part of it. It's quite delightful. But the idea on the Iran situation, it's pretty simple. If we get out of this deal, which basically prevents Iran from developing nuclear bombs for 10 years. And most people around the world think it's a very good program. Well, if we scotch it, I'm not so certain, frankly, that the other nations, because there are a number of nations involved besides France and England and Germany, Russia and China, they might not say, okay, fine, well, you're out, we're in. By the way, don't try and take it out on Iran, because we're not going to let that happen.
But if we pull out, Iran's going to pull out. There's no doubt about it. They're going to pull out. They're going to follow our lead. And that's going to lead to...
I'm not so certain.
You don't think so, Jim?
You're talking about the other nations?
Yeah, I'm talking about Iran pulling out of the deal if we pull out, and I think that'll create more
problems. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I misunderstood.
You know, that'll create a lot of problems politically inter-country, because Iran will have every right to pull out of a deal that is no longer the deal that they signed.
Okay, I think I'm trying to be more optimistic than that.
We need optimism.
Am I doing a good job? Maybe not.
You're trying.
Yeah, I'm going to throw something in.
I'll shut up for the last 3 minutes.
And I'm going to
I'm
going to throw something in too. It's not about optimism. It's not about pessimism. It's once again, it's no one knows what's when I say no one, except for the people who are actually working on it. No one knows what's going on behind the scenes. I just like to throw that in. We know what we're being told.
Okay, I hear you, but we can only go. We do know the deal. We can read the deal. Okay, the deal protects us for about 10 years. The point is, if we scotch the deal and everybody fades, including Iran, Iran can then go back to immediately developing nuclear. Of course, they will not have a treaty anymore. Now that doesn't make any sense. We don't have a lot of time left, so I want to make this point. If the Iran deal blows up, the chance of a Korean deal probably becomes less and less, because the North Koreans are going to say, fine, you made a deal with all these countries, now you're pulling out. What makes us believe that you're going to make a deal with us, and 2 years from now you're not going to do the same thing? We lack diplomatic skill at the highest levels in this country. And this fellow Macron, who came over from France, the leader of France, beg pardon, did a marvelous job in doing his best to cultivate Donald Trump. And he really didn't succeed, because he was no longer out of the country a day or two, and Trump was back beating his drum of the USA only, and so forth. It's a big world. The world is much, much different now than it was before the Second World War. So many other countries other than ourselves, other than the main countries, have weapons, have economies, have a lot of people. And so we've got to continue to be part of the world, not separate from the world. On that score, I noticed that the Wall Street Journal, talking politically, basically came out with an editorial that stated to the president, please stop lying, because when you want to tell the American people the truth about something in a dire situation, they're not going to know whether to believe you or not. The other thing on that score is a fellow named Neil Cavuto. He's a financial journalist on Fox. He came out with a scathing treatment of Trump and the way he's been handling his job. Now, obviously, these are very pro-Trumpian forces, but I think people are getting sick and tired of being, if you would, sick and tired. And we're now at 3,000 lies, and I won't go any further, because
well, you're out of time.
it's too tiring. It's too tiring.
And you're out of time. The hook is here, Mr. Hook.
Okay,
is here.
I love you. You have a good week.
All right, Jim. Take care, buddy.
Take care. Bye bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on the Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.